ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम्। सो विच वर्स डिड यू डू यस्टरडे? टेक्स्ट 37। हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू हैव मेमोराइज दैट वर्स? ओके, दैव शक्ति रेज्ड हर हैंड फर्स्ट, लेट्स हियर हर। ओके, वेरी गुड। सो एंड राधा वल्लभ्स हैंड वेंट अप द लास्ट, सो लेट्स हियर राधा वल्लभ रिसाइट।
एतात्मतम समाधिस्थ परम येन समाधिना भवान् विकल्प विकल्पेषु न विमोचति परिस्थिता।
कर्हि चित्। ओके, अनदर थिंग देवशक्ति, व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन दंतश तालिवश एंड मध्यमश? दंतश इज स, বাংলাতে সব সই স, বাট ইন সংস্কৃত দেয়ার ইজ এ ডিফারেন্স বিটুইন স, শ আর শ। দন্ত তালব্য এন্ড মূর্ধা, ইটস নট সমাধি না, ইটস সমাধি না, স। So take note of that, especially the Bengali devotees. There is a sa, dantasha, sa. And I shall say talibasha taki bhabe hobe. Huh? Talibasha. Huh? Ota uchchanta kotha theke hobe. Talibbota talu, talu theke hobe. Sa. And murdha mane brain, ota aro beshi. Jemon Shri Shuka Ubacha. Shri Shuka Ubacha, meaning Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Sampradishya, Sampradishya, fully instructing Brahmaji, evam, thus, ajana, ajana, the Supreme Lord, jananam, of the living entities, parameshthinam, unto the supreme leader Brahma, pashyataha, while he was seen, tasya, his, tat rupam, that transcendental form, atmanaha, of the absolute, narunat, disappeared. Hari, the Lord, the personality of Godhead. So the meaning of this verse then is, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, after being seen in his transcendental form instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, disappeared. So Sukadeva Goswami said, Shampradishchai Majano. Acha, okay. Here the English has been divided in two words. Shampradishchaivam aja, Shampradishchaivam, Shampradishchaivam, Ajano, Jananam, Parameshtinam, Pashyatas, Tasya, Tadrupam, Atmano, Narunad, Hari. Sampradishyaivam ajano, Jananam parameshthinam, Pashyatastasya tadrupam, Atmano Narunadhari, okay. So what is the first word of the first line? Huh? Okay. Then the first word of the second line.
Jananam parameshtinam.
What's the first word of the third line? Okay, and what is the first word of the fourth line? KK hat tuleche. Okay, tumulo. I can see that many of you have been preparing yourself. How many of you memorized the verse already? Okay. So few today. Just two. Okay. And how many of you will memorize it tomorrow? Very good. Thank you. Okay. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sampradishyaivam ajano jananam parameshthinam pashyatastasya tadrupam atmano nuranad hari. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Sampradishya, fully instructing Brahmaji, evam das ajanaha, the Supreme Lord, Jananam,
Jananam
of the living entities.
Parameshtinam
unto the supreme leader Brahma. Pasyataha, while he was seeing, tasya, his, tatrupam, that transcendental form, atmanaha, of the absolute, nyarunat, disappeared, harihi, the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, after being seen in His transcendental form instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, disappeared. Repeat after me. Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, after being seen in His transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, disappeared. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is Ajanaha, or the Supreme Person, and that He was showing His transcendental form, Atmano Rupam, to Brahmaji, while instructing him in the summarization of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses. He is Ajana, or the Supreme Person, amongst Jananam, or all persons. All living entities are individual persons, and amongst all such persons, Lord Hari is supreme, as confirmed in Shruti Mantra, Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. So there is no place for impersonal features in the transcendental world, as there are impersonal features in the material world. Whenever there is chetana or knowledge, the personal feature comes in. In the spiritual world, everything is full of knowledge, and therefore everything in the transcendental world, the Lord, the water, the tree, the mountain, the river, the man, the animal, the bird, everything is of the same quality, namely chetana. And therefore, everything there is individual and personal. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this information as the supreme Vedic literature. And it was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahmaji, so that the leader of the living entities might broadcast the message to all in the universe in order to teach the supreme knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. Brahmaji, in his turn, instructed Narada, his beloved son, the same message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narada, in his turn, taught the same to Vasudev, who again taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. Through Sukadeva Goswami's grace and by the mercy of Maharaj Parikshit, we are all given Srimad Bhagavatam perpetually, to learn the science of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So in this verse, in the text, Prabhupada is emphatically pointing out that how the Absolute Truth, the ultimate Absolute Personality of Godhead, is a person. God is a person. And when there is a personality, there is form. So Prabhupada is very particular about this point, because there is a gross misconception floating nowadays in the form of impersonalism and voidism, Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad. Voidism has been has become prevalent through Buddhism and Nirvisheshvad or Mayavad has been established through Shankaracharya's teachings. Now, previously many times we discussed that why did it happen? Why Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of God, came and propagated a theory like Shunyavad, voidism, Shunya. Everything is nothing. Shunya means zero. And zero means nothing. So ultimately everything will become nothing. Why did Lord Buddha do that? How many of you remember why Lord Buddha preached Shunyavad? Kevin?
In those days, the Brahmanas were performing sacrifices. They were slaughtering animals. The Buddha came to establish...
You mean those days? Prior to that, the Brahmanas did not perform sacrifice and slaughter animals?
They did, but they could... the power of the Vedic
mantra... Right, yeah. Very good. Yes. Yeah. Prior... There is a custom. There is a Vedic practice of animal sacrifice in a sacrifice, yajna. But the purpose of the sacrifice was to test the efficacy of the yajna. And by performing by slaughtering or sacrificing an animal, the animal used to get either a new body or used to become elevated to the heavenly planet. And then one could understand that the sacrifice has been completed. Or sacrifice has been successfully completed. But with the advent of the age of Kali, what happened? The so-called Brahmanas started to slaughter animals, to deliver the animals. But to eat the flesh of the animal. And in this way, all kinds of animals were unnecessarily being killed just to satisfy their tongue. And that's why the Lord appeared as Buddha to stop this animal sacrifice. What is the verse? How do you prove that? That how what I said has can it be? Is it established in the Vedic understanding? Okay, that Ganganaray. Which verse is that? Okay, what is the verse? Shuti jatam. Sadaya ridaya darshitam. Na darshitam. Sadaya ridaya darshita poshuhatam. Okay. Nindasi yagya videraha shuti jatam. Shuti jatam means from the Vedic scriptures. The animal sacrifice that has been prescribed in the Vedas, in the name of that excuse, this animals are being slaughtered. And seeing that animals are being slaughtered in this way, sadaya hridaya darshita pashughatam. The soft and tender heart, the merciful heart of the Lord was afflicted. And that's why he decided to stop this animal sacrifice. Now, when something, if you want to stop something, then best way to stop it is by deal with the root of that. Jagga Vidhi, in the name of Jagga Vidhi, the animal sacrifice was going on. And what was the excuse? The Vedic scriptures. So, what did the Lord do? By appearing as Lord Buddha, he rejected the Vedas. In the name of the Vedas, the animal sacrifice was going on. So to stop that, the best way is, like if you want to stop this light, what do you do? Do you take all the bulbs one after another? There's one way of doing that, but that will take a long time. That's a difficult one. So the easiest way is just go to the switch and switch it off. So Lord Buddha did that. No need for the Vedas. And what did he teach? He taught the principle of adharma. He taught the, actually in the name of dharma, he taught the principle, let's put it this way. He taught the principle of dharma in the sense there are 10 good activities. 10 appropriate activities. What are those activities? 10 good activities. Tell the truth, do not inflict pain on anybody, and so forth. Just as in Christianity also there are 10 commandments. Actually, Old Testament, Moses received those 10 commandments from God. So Buddhism also has 10 principles. Don't tell a lie. Always stay on the path of righteousness and so forth. I don't remember them. And the philosophy, their philosophy is the ultimate goal of life is to attain nirvana. The goal of life, if you follow this path, then ultimately you will reach nirvana. And nirvana is, what is nirvana? His philosophy, Buddhist philosophy is, all the pain is caused by the body. It is due to the body that we have suffering. So, if you don't have the body, if you become nothing, then there won't be any suffering. The suffering is caused by our existence. So if we do not exist, then do not have any suffering. Our existence is full of suffering. So if we do not exist, then you won't have any suffering. So the ultimate goal of life is to become nothing or to merge into nothing. Ultimately there is nothing. That is what Buddhistic philosophy is. That's why it's called Shunyavad or Voidism. Void. Ultimately everything is void, shunya. So you have to merge into void. You have to become nothing. Then there won't be any suffering. Then, in this way the Lord fulfilled his purpose. He stopped the animal sacrifice. But then came, then the Lord himself instructed Lord Shiva that I have established this voidism, and I have, in order to do that, I have rejected the Vedas. But now, to achieve certain purpose, I have done that, and now you re-establish the Vedas. And in order, why there is the need to re-establish the Vedas? Because unless and until one follows the Vedas, one will not understand God. Ved na manya bodho hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, therefore they are nastik, means atheists. Indirectly they are becoming atheists, because they do not, although they are actually accepting God as Buddha, but they have become Gnostic. There is some positive aspect. They are following the Lord Buddha. But because they are not following the Vedas, they have become Nastic. Because because unless and until one approaches the Vedas, one will not have any understanding of God. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedya. What the Vedas are meant for? The Vedas are meant to reveal the identity of God. So if somebody doesn't accept the Vedas, he won't get to know God. In the Vedas, there is a very clear and precise understanding of God. In no other scripture, the identity of God has been, identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been revealed. Like as we often discuss, like Christianity accepts God, but do they have any information about God? Who God is? No. Judaism accepts God, but who is God? No idea. Their Judaistic understanding is that God the Father, who came to Moses and gave the thing in the burning bush. But what is his form? No idea. And Islam says, don't even think of his form. Don't even think of him. You can't think about God, Allah. Accept Allah, but don't think about him. Why? Because there is no information about Allah. That's why it is so important to establish. It became so important to establish the Vedas. That's why the Lord instructed Lord Shiva. And that's why he came as Shankaracharya. Mayavadam Ashachastram Prachanna Bodham Uchate Mayoiva Bihitam Devi Kalau Brahmana Murtina. In the age of Kali, appearing as a Brahmana, I will establish a temporary philosophy, temporary conclusion. Ashat Chastram. What is the name of that Ashat Chastram or temporary conclusion? Mayavad. Mayavadam Ashat Chastram Prachanna Bodham Uchyate, which is Prachanna Bodham, which is covered Buddhism. Buddhism is covered atheism, and Mayavad is covered Buddhism. But he needed to do that. Why he needed to do that? So that the Vedas could be re-established. In order to re-establish the Vedas, he did that. And how he did that, it's interesting to note. The Buddhists are saying Nirvana is the ultimate goal of life. And what is Nirvana? Is to become nothing. Now Shankaracharya came and he said that, look, this concept of Nirvana is not your concept. It's from the Vedas. And according to the Vedas, the Nirvana actually means to merge into Brahman, to merge into the Absolute. So in Buddhists are saying to merge into nothing, Shankaracharya is saying to merge into the Absolute. And what is Absolute? The Absolute is Brahman. And what is Brahman? Brahman is Nirakar Nirvishir. Why? Because otherwise the Buddhists will not accept it. They'll say, well, that's your, if he brought in the concept of form, then the Buddhists would say, well, that is your understanding, not ours. But he took their point. Nirvana, okay. Nirvana means not to merge in the void. Nirvana means to merge into the Brahman, or the Absolute, or Brahman. And what is Brahman? Brahman is Absolute. So the goal of life is not to become nothing. The goal of life is to become everything. So Shankaracharya just took that to the opposite extreme, and in this way he established the Vedas. And when the Vedas were established, then came Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, and they established the personalistic concept. So it was necessary. Shankaracharya's which has been established in that in that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, when he was teaching Sarvam Bhattacharya, he pointed out that tar dosh nahi teho agga kari dash. There is no problem. Actually, it is not a fault of Shankaracharya because he is following the orders of the Lord. He is simply following the orders. Agga kari dash. As a servant, as he is following the instruction of the Lord. That's why he established Mayavada. To achieve a purpose. But if one follows that misconstrued idea of Mayavad, then Mayavadir bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash. Tar dosh nahi teho agga kari dash, Mayavadir bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash. So, so in this way, it is a gradual progress. And, well, an example can be given. When you have a disease, then you are given the medicine. And you know, in most cases, what the medicine is? The medicine is poison. In most cases, the medicines are actually poison. But this poison acts as an antidote to the disease. It's curing to the disease. So if you have a disease, then you can take the medicine which is a poison. But if you are a healthy person, then if you take that medicine, then what happens? You are taking poison. And what does poison do? Poison destroys you. Poison saves a diseased person. But the same poison, the same medicine which is actually saving the diseased person will kill an ordinary person who is healthy and strong. So in order to rectify the diseased condition, Shankaracharya's Mayavad was necessary at that time. But that should not be followed. That concept is not meant to be followed otherwise. In order to achieve some purpose. And what was the purpose? Why Shankaracharya established Mayavad? To re-establish the Vedas. To reinstate the Vedas. To bring the Vedas back. Actually, if you go back, during Shankaracharya's time when he came, the whole of India became Buddhist. That was the influence of Lord Buddha. The entire India actually became Buddhist under the patronage of it started off with King Ashoka. The whole of India became Buddhist, and it reached even other countries. He sent his preachers to Tibet, to China, to Southeast Asia, all these places, to Sri Lanka. He actually sent his own sister to Sri Lanka to preach, Sanghamitra. And in this way, Buddhism actually spread. But then Shankaracharya came. Not an ordinary person, Lord Shiva himself. And who are the followers of Lord Shiva? We can still see them. Like during Kumbh Mela, we can see these Naga Sannyasis, the followers. Lord Shiva's, there are different types of followers of Lord Shiva. In one hand, there are peaceful people, but also Lord Shiva's associates are the ghosts and hobgoblins. So they also came, and they like Lord Shiva, not only by he, Shankaracharya, not only established Buddhist, re-established the Vedas by defeating the Buddhists, he also had another group who were not so peaceful. They had their trident in their hands, and like they were actually very ferocious. I mean, Lord Shiva and Shankaracharya established Mayavad, or defeated Buddhism, not only by preaching and defeating, but those who would not accept the defeat in that way, these Nagas were used to drive them out, to take care of them. So it is said that, anyway, let's not get into that. I mean, and the result was Buddhism was driven out of India. Today we hardly see any Buddhism in India. And that was because of Shankaracharya. And in this way he re-established the Vedic scriptures and the Vedic practices. Then came Ramanujacharya, and he defeated or he pointed out the flaw of Shankaracharya's Mayavad through his... Now, Mayavad is Kevala Dvaitavad. Kevala means only Advaita. But Ramanujacharya established his theory of Vishishta Dvaitavad, Vishishta Advaitavad. And in this way he pointed out the flaws in Shankaracharya's Mayavad or Kevala Dvaitavad. And that we considered a few times before also. Anyway, I'll give the essence of that. Shankaracharya's Kevala Dvaitavad is pointing out that all the forms are material. The variegatedness in the material is seen, that is seen, is material. But beyond this material nature, Brahman, which is the cause of the creation of this universe, or material nature, is Advaita. Is Brahman. And Brahman doesn't have any form. Brahma doesn't have any quality. Brahma doesn't have any variety. Ultimately, it's all Brahman. And in Brahman, there is no duality. It's one. Everything is one. Keval Advaita Vad. And the form and variety and everything that we perceive in the material nature is Maya. And Maya means illusion. And illusion means to think of something which is actually not. Illusion, mirage is an illusion. In the middle of a desert, the sand becomes hot and it appears to be oasis, appears to be water. That is mirage. A snake is mistaken to be a rope is mistaken to be a snake. That is illusion. In this way, he gave the examples of illusion or Maya. But Ramanujacharya came and pointed out, he defeated Shankaracharya's theory, very systematic. And the easy way to understand is that he is saying that mirage is mistaken to be water. And he is saying that, okay, mirage appears to be water and it's not water, but somewhere the water is existing. That's why there is a concept of mistaken concept of mirage to be water. The snake may not be there in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing. That's why you're mistaking the rope to be a snake. So where is that real form? Yeah, fine. This form is illusion. This is Maya. Fine. But somewhere this original form is existing. That's why we're mistaken. And where is it? That is in the spiritual sky. And this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual sky. So in this way, Ramanujacharya pointed out, defeated Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad and established Vishishta, through establishing Vishishtadvaitavad, he established the variegated nature of the spiritual reality. Spiritual sky is not nishaktik nirakar. The spiritual sky is full of variety. The spiritual sky is full of personalities with form, with spiritual form. And then Madhvacharya came and he established Dvaitavad, material nature and spiritual nature. The two different nature altogether. This material nature is the external energy of the Lord, and the spiritual nature is the internal nature of the Lord. Material nature is a reflection in the elements of the or in the reflection in matter. But the reality is the spiritual sky. So in this way, there was an apparent conflict between Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad and Vaishnava's Vishishtadvaitavad, Advaitadvaitavad, Advaitadvaitavad. I'm sorry, Madhvacharya is Dvaita Dvaitavad. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and harmonized this two conflicting concepts through his Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. Achinta. And there is a simultaneous, there is a Bheda and Abheda. Difference and non-difference. And what is the difference? Or say, what is the non-difference? What is the abhed? Abhed is both are spiritual. The jivas are spiritual and Ishvara is spiritual. But the jivas are minute, Ishvara is absolute. Qualitatively they are same, but quantitatively they are different. Both are Satchidananda. Both are spiritual. Jiva is spiritual, Ishvara is spiritual. But the Jiva is a minute, Ishvara is absolute. Just like a drop of water is water and the ocean also is water. So drop of water is qualitatively one with the ocean. But a drop of water is just a drop, and the ocean is the vast reservoir. Will anybody call a drop as ocean? No. Although it's water. So similarly, the jivas are always jivas, although spiritual, but Ishvara is always Ishvara. Jivas can never become Ishvara. And nowadays we see so many misconceptions flowing, like when people come and talk, aap bhi Bhagwan hai. You are also God. Everyone is God. Is everyone God? It's because of that misconception. That ultimately everything is Brahman. So there's no harm in saying that everyone is God. Because there is no God. Everything is ultimately Brahman. And what is God then? What is Ishvara, or what is Narayan, what is Vishnu, they all are in the mode of Jiva, in the mode of goodness. Rather, Brahman in the mode of goodness. Everything is Brahman. Sarvam Khallidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. But Brahma in mode of ignorance are the Jivas. Brahman in the mode of passion are Jivas. Maybe in the Brahman in the mode of ignorance are animals. Brahman in the mode of passion are human. And Brahman in the mode of goodness is Narayan, God. So that is the misconception. But then when the Brahman will become free from mode of goodness, then Brahman will become Brahman. So Narayan will become ultimately Brahman. All the forms are the gods or incarnations. They are in the mode of goodness, and the sannyasis also are in the mode of goodness, and they will become Brahman when they become free from the mode of goodness. So that misconception is still prevalent. Now it is important to see, like, what did Shankaracharya do? Shankaracharya drove away Buddhism out of India. Now, it is important to note, what is Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, the second part of Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra? Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Vishuddha. Srila Prabhupada drove away Nirvisheshvad and Shunnavad from the Western world. Western world is in the grip of Nirvisheshvad and Shunnavad. Impersonalism and voidism. So Srila Prabhupada came to drive away this impersonalism and voidism. And when it is driven away out of the West, it will be driven out of this world. Because that is the seat of Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad. But unfortunately in India also, now Prabhupada drove Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad out of the Paschatya Desha. But what is happening with India? Now India is in the grip of Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad. So who is going to drive it out? Anyway... Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad, we have to make it a point to drive it out of India. Now, of course, Shankaracharya also had Naga sannyasis, but we don't have our sannyasis are not going to take to violence. Naga sannyasis did take to violence, actually, to drive out Buddhism. But that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with a very special weapon. What is the weapon that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with? Naam Prem. Naam, which is Prem. With love and propagation of the holy name, which is synonymous to love of Godhead, these negative effect which is actually establishing or prevailing in this world in the form of adharma will be eradicated. Sometimes people wonder, why are we so strong against Mayavad? Because that's our business. We cannot tolerate that concept. Aap bhi Bhagavan hai. Main bhi Bhagavan, aap bhi Bhagavan, sab Bhagavan. Main bhi Bhagavan, aap bhi Bhagavan, sab Bhagavan, keval Bhagavan Bhagavan nahi. Keval Krishna Bhagavan nahi, baki sab Bhagavan. That is the unfortunate conclusion. So we have to remove that misconception by establishing proper Siddhanta. We are prepared to discuss with anybody. Prepared to discuss with anybody. Come, well, let's discuss. And don't worry, we are not going to get into an unpleasant conflict. We are not going to discuss like, okay, come. You also talk sense, we also talk sense, and let us see what is the right understanding. Can anybody defeat Ramanujacharya's points? What he is pointing, the points, the defects that he is pointing out in Mayavad. A rope, the example of a rope and snake and mirage. Brahm. Rajote, Shuktite Rajot Brahm, Morichikai, Jal Brahm, and Rajute Sharpo Brahm. That Brahm. But why is that Brahm? Brahm is there, mistake is there, misconception is there, illusion is there. But the point is, somewhere the real thing must be existing, that's why I'm mistaking the reflection to be real. So that's why it's so interesting to preach. Of course, India, early India had one very nice system. And when they used to follow the Vedic culture, there was a system that if you are defeated by somebody, then you have to accept his Siddhanta. If you are defeated by somebody, you have to accept him as a superior. You have to surrender yourself to his teachings. You have to accept him as your guru and become his disciple. But nowadays, that's not happening. They keep on arguing. And that was like the qualification was a consideration. Okay, you want to discuss on the basis of the Vedas. Have you studied Vedas? How many Vedas you studied? One Veda? Okay, you are a Vedi. You became expert in two Vedas? You are a Duvedi or Dube. Vedi, Dube. We have these titles now. Then Trivedi. And Chaturvedi. And then we have to, and the discussion must take place on the basis of the Vedas. Now they don't discuss on the basis of the Vedas. They discuss on the basis of science. Such and such scientists say this is right. Such and such scientist came, said that man came from monkey. And then ultimately everything came from dinosaurs. And so on and so forth. And then they're making movies. They're even more authentic. I have seen it in the movie, so it must be absolute truth. In the movies they have said that from a dinosaur's fossil, from a dinosaur's fossil, another dinosaur could be created. I have seen it in the movie. Jurassic Park. So that must be absolute truth. So this is how the whole society has become confused. And now to defeat them and bring them back to the right understanding is not going to be an easy task. So we have to become convinced about the reality and then pursue that reality, course of reality, and educate others with this understanding. And we are seeing intelligent class of people are responding all over the world. Those were many followers of Srila Prabhupada, many devotees of ISKCON are coming from very well-versed, well-educated background. Your name is Narottam. Narottam is, you are an engineer. Right? So he is an engineer. He is a full-time devotee now. Why did you accept it?
Why?
I thought Darwin's theory is very appealing. So Prabhupada's teaching actually pointed out the defect of Darwin. Like there, we can see that these people, in the name of science, they're cheating people. They're cheating. Did they ever prove? Did they? For so many years, they're establishing. It has been over 200 years now, or at least 150 years. But in 150 years, did you see a single monkey becoming a human being? Did you ever see a monkey giving birth to a human being? So the monkeys are still here, human beings are still here. Now, if it was an organic evolution, then why didn't all the monkeys become human beings? With time, with evolution, all monkeys now should have been human beings. There shouldn't have been any monkey left. But it's the reverse is working. The human beings are giving birth to monkeys nowadays. Human beings are becoming monkeys. And they say, life comes from matter. And we ask, okay, prove it. Life comes from... They say life actually came from certain chemical combination. Assembled of some and some condition, some atoms and molecules became together and life came. So if that is your theory, why don't you prove it in your laboratory? Show all the chemicals that are available. Why don't you create life out of that? They say we'll do it tomorrow. Just now coming. And it's going on for hundreds of years. Just now coming. Prabhupada used to call it giving a post-dated check. You don't have money in the bank account. You give a post-dated check. Today I don't have money. Tomorrow I'll put the money in the bank and then you can put the check. And these post-dated checks are being given, which are never going to be cashed. All kinds of cheating going on in the name of science. And they're substantiating it. Okay, we have invented so many things. Yes, you have invented something. But the bottom line, we are not saying that you don't deserve any credit. Yes, we give you credit. But what we cannot accept is that you are saying that matter is the source origin of life. Life comes from matter. Just accept that simple concept. Life comes from life. It's a living father uniting with a living mother gives birth to a living child. Can dead matter give birth to a living body? Or can a dead matter give birth to a dead matter also? If we put this table and bring another table and put it next to this table, will there be a third table born out of this? So let us accept the fact that life comes from life. And then when the soul leaves the body, what happens? It becomes dead body. Okay, you can't create another new life. Then why not make a dead body alive? All the chemicals are there. So why not bring a dead body to life? You can't do that. And ultimately Prabhupada gave a challenge. That what to speak of life, just produce one grain of rice in your laboratory. You don't have to create human beings. Just produce a grain of rice. Produce a seed of a tree in your laboratory. That you plant it in the soil and another tree will come out. Produce just one such. But you can't. So why are you unnecessarily arguing on that point? And then everything becomes easy. If you accept the soul being non-material, soul being spiritual, then another dimension, another world opens up. That is the spiritual reality. The soul comes from the spiritual sky. Now let's go to the spiritual sky and see what the spiritual sky is like. Spiritual sky is full of spiritual beings. And the supreme spiritual being is God. Very simple conclusion. Even a child can understand. So that is the thing that has been pointed out here by in the purport. Srila Prabhupada emphatically pointed out that impersonalism is an evil that is prevailing in this society that has to be removed. This misconception must be rectified. The world has seen a lot of progress, but this progress will become properly effective when people recognize the existence of God and recognize themselves to be the servants of God and become engaged in His loving devotional service. Then the whole world will become such a beautiful place. But in spite of so much progress, look what we have today. In spite of so much progress, there is so much violence, so much terrorism, and they are not going to decrease if we follow the course of this atheistic concept. Then the world will become more and more violent. There will be more, and the terrorism will become more and more prevalent. But if we accept this concept of spiritual reality and our existence continuing beyond this life, and our goal is to go back to the spiritual sky where we came from, then everybody will become so effectively engaged in this pursuit of this ultimate goal. And then the world will become such a beautiful place. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Arti.
Maharaj has said that humans are becoming monkeys. Actually, think that they're becoming pigs. Yesterday on the internet, there was a short news snippet saying that great breakthrough has come in genetically modifying pigs so that their organs can be transplanted to humans. So the process is sort
of. Well, they need that. The pigs need pigs' organs to become they're behaving like a pig now. And actually, what will happen eventually, those who are behaving like a pig, they don't have to transplant the pig's organ. They'll get the body of a pig. Maybe you can tell that, respond that in the internet. Don't have to trouble so much. Don't have to worry so much and take so much trouble. In course of time, you'll get an entire pig's body with all the pig's organs to become a perfect pig.
I was just a little bit serious. No? What I could understand, the Buddha managed to convert the whole India to Buddhism, and then Sankaracharya's teachings had a very huge effect by practically destroying Buddhism.
Not destroying, but driving it out of India.
Driving it out. And then it seems Ramanujacharya's teachings had less effect, as Mayavadis are still so huge all over. And then Madhvacharya and Chaitanya, they followed, and progressively they brought the understanding to a higher plane. Now it seems also that the purer the philosophy became, the smaller the audience was.
Okay, very good point. Very good point. You know why? Because this is the age of Adharma. Because this is the age of Adharma, Adharma is prevailing and Dharma is suffering. Now what do we have to do? We have to establish Dharma. And the Lord has appeared in the form of His holy name. So let's spread the holy name and Dharma will be established.
Also, Maharaj, I think their teachings took centuries to get established, and we have been starting with ISKCON for only 40 years, so we have a lot of work.
Their teachings?
No, their teachings, like Sankaracharya and Ramanujacharya, their teachings took centuries to get established and entrenched. It's not like it happened overnight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But the thing is, one interesting thing is, the information technology has advanced so much in this age that if you want to spread something effectively through this means, through this medium, you can very effectively spread it. That is one advantage that has been created. And I think ultimately this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement, Krishna's arrangement, this information technology is going to be utilized in propagation of Krishna consciousness very effectively all over the world in a very short span of time. That's why you're setting up the IT park. The information technology that will be used in spreading Krishna consciousness. Somewhere it has to start. Maybe with a baby step, but somewhere it has to start. Look how effectively they're spreading this information. The atheistic, materialistic information. Like they have reached even the villages of India. Villages of India is watching today. All the channels, you know, like I don't even remember those names. But those American movies, American, you know, ideas are being injected even in the, and people are being affected by that. Because television is such a powerful medium. Everyone is glued to that. The one-eyed monster.
In Santracharya Ashram, they are worshipping Lord Shiva and Krishna also. So they are accepting the Lord in the form, or they are other forms.
You go and ask them again. What's the difference between Krishna and Shiva?
Both for the, in some ashram they are worshipping Lord Shiva. And in some Lord Krishna, even in the Dwarka temple, the part of Dwarka temple is managed by Shankaracharya Ashram, except Dwarka temple. Mm. So why it is so that they are not accepting the form?
They are accepting the form. They are saying that they have the form, and you need the form to meditate. You need a form, but then ultimately they'll all become Brahman. Like, that's why I asked, what's the difference between Shiva and Krishna? They will say no difference. It's all Brahman. But if you like Krishna, you can worship Krishna. If you like Shiva, you can worship Shiva. If you like Devi, you can worship Devi.
In some temple, they are worshipping Devi.
Right. But the thing is, it's not a matter of, the consideration is not a matter of worshipping. With what understanding they worship. The understanding is, ultimately this is all Brahman. Now, because you are not advanced enough, you need a form to meditate. So, okay, focus on that form. But ultimately you need the form. When you reach Brahman, the form will disappear. Whereas our actual understanding, actual Vedic understanding, is that these forms are eternal. Krishna is not a transformation of Brahman. Rather, Brahman is the bodily effulgence of Krishna. Krishna is beyond Brahman. There is Brahman, but Krishna is Param Brahma. Origin of Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. So that is the absolute truth. You are attending the class? Does it make sense what we discussed?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Very good. Vyas, what about you? Making sense? Good. If you have any question, you can ask. आपको भी सही लग रहा है? ओके ओके गुड. अच्छा अच्छा, कोई अगर प्रश्न है तो पूछ सकते हैं आप. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.